I think my juices flow all the time.
Absolutely, absolutely.
You know as much as I know.
Right now, we've been able to stuff the stuff.
The curse is broken. NC State fans, finally. Finally.
Hey, happy Thanksgiving.
I mean, that's a triple play.
The Wolfpack ain't for soft. It ain't for soft people.
Welcome back to our, sadly, season finale of Pack Therapy. I'm Joe Giglio, joined by Wolfpack great Scott Wood. And Scott, it has been an adventure this season. I appreciate you joining me along the way. I know all of the NC State fans out there have enjoyed your insight this season as well. So with that, I would like to start with maybe an off-topic question for you. Now that we're 10 years removed from your final NCAA tournament game, because this event every spring really does capture the imagination of the country. And I imagine your dad playing college basketball, you grew up wanting to play in this tournament and enjoying it the same way that a lot of us enjoy it now. So just what, you know, 10 years later now, what do you remember about playing in the tournament? And does it almost feel like, does it almost feel surreal, you know, that it happened the way that it happened and you get your final 2 years a chance to play in the biggest show there is?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, the Sweet 16 team is always going to have a special place for me, and it's always going to be a conversation that I'm always going to have with, you know, somebody that comes up and said, oh, where'd you play? And I said NC State, and then it just leads to the Sweet 16. I think it's just – it's one of those things that you hold on to, and then I think even the following year where, you know, we had – one of the most talented teams to come through preseason six and all the hoopla of, you know, winning an ACC championship and tournament and, you know, making a deep run in the NCAA tournament, which ultimately ended up losing first round in Temple. Still, even to this day, looking back on it, it's just one of the best experiences I ever had. I mean, just the energy of the NC State fans and the staff and everybody that was involved that traveled with us. It's one of those things looking back that it was just, I mean, a great memory for me. Obviously you wish you could advance more and more and more. And you kind of look back on it and it's like, man, I kind of wish I'd have done this or this different. But at the end of the day, man, it's one of those experiences. I think you saw the emotion on Jarkel's face, you know, in a couple videos of when they got in. There's just nothing like it. And, once you get to experience that, all you want is to go back.
Watching this tournament, it strikes me how different basketball looks from even your time. Mm-hmm. Do you see it the same way?
Yeah, without a doubt. I think it's just it's transitioned to a very, very fast pace. And even looking back in my days, I feel like we played really fast. But it was also, you know, thankfully for my style of play, it was a lot of sets that was designed to, you know, run down screens, stagger screens, cross screens, pin downs. It had some action. And just nowadays it's a very physical game, a very fast game. It is very driven by mismatches and matchups, which I think, you know, the thing that you're kind of seeing in the NCAA tournament is, you know, a lot of these teams that are losing that you would think would win, like a Purdue, you know, for me personally, an NC State, you know, if you don't have the matchup and it just, you know, doesn't click that night, it can be off, you know, real quickly and you're out of the tournament. So I think that's the biggest piece of it, is it's just coaches nowadays and players are trying to expose where the biggest matchup is. And they are going to hammer it and hammer it and hammer it. And I think one of those things, you know, even looking back on NC State, was just ball screen defense. You know, we just, you know, looking back at the game, the pick and roll action, we just struggled. It was hard to stop it. The big 7-1 kid was just screening and rolling. It's just hard to stop. And I think that's what you saw against Purdue as well, is they just, you know, they had Edie in the middle and they couldn't do anything with it. So it's just one of those things that the more the game evolves, is the more it's just – crazy athleticism, crazy physicality, and really targeting those mismatches.
physicality seems like it goes hand in hand with older players.
Yeah.
And, you know, you think about NC State and their turnaround this year. They got older. They got better. And a lot of that was the players they got out of the portal. You look at Pitt and their turnaround, and they end up losing in the tournament, but making the tournament. And then you look at Duke, seemingly always a younger team, and the way that they got pushed around by Tennessee and our friend Justin Gainey, you know, who's done amazing work with Coach Rick Barnes. And I hope, if he's not NC State's next coach eventually, I hope he is Tennessee's next coach, because he's done tremendous work at Arizona and now Tennessee. But I'm watching that Tennessee team. You said physical. That was physical. I mean, and they're older too, Scott. I mean, I've been talking a lot about how pretty basketball seems to be gone. There's no more pretty basketball. It's ugly basketball in college. And I think it's because of that combination of the COVID year. You got older players. You also have like this, you have this sense of, you mentioned Kalkbrenner. He's not good enough to play in the NBA, but he's great in college basketball, and he can make a decent living on NIL. And why would you leave college basketball if that was the case? We'll see that locally. Armando Bacot at Carolina. You'll see it hopefully next year with DJ Burns at NC State. You know, he has another year of eligibility, and we'll get into all of the, some of the roster choices that are coming up. But I'm just kind of curious. Do you think pretty basketball is gone? You know, in Arizona losing, Arizona was one of those pretty teams. You know, they had the Gonzaga assistant runs all their stuff. You mentioned the sets. It just feels like that ain't what this is anymore.
Well, and I mean, it's kind of that. It's just the hard part of, I think you can still win, you know, playing the game. I don't want to say the right way, because it's, I mean, the game is evolving, but
sure,
you know, running sets, being, you know, executing at a high level, you know, making 2-3 extra passes. But again, I just think these teams turn games into such high pace and so ugly. And there's so many athletes on the defensive end that it gets you out of your comfort zone. It's hard to get into sets. And I think that's one of the things, especially with Tennessee, is they just got up in you. I think of it back to Baylor and Gonzaga in the national championship. Baylor just was way more physical and way tougher, and said, I'm just going to take you out of everything you can run and make you get out of your comfort zone. And that's part of the issue, is even the kids nowadays, is they're so one-dimensional where they do one thing, and if you get them a little bit out of their comfort zone, it's something completely different. So I think that's just one of the things that you're starting to see, is, you know, it's just not pretty, because they're making it ugly. That's what they want to do. They want to get an ugly game going, because they feel like they have a better chance to win.
I feel like, I always think of your teams as 12, right? That year, Kentucky wins the national championship. Anthony Davis, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, you know, Terrence Jones was a little bit older, Marcus Teague, guard, Kyle Wilcher, one of their shooters. But I feel like pros used to win this tournament. The team with the pros won this tournament.
Yeah.
That was a fairly simple observation, right? I feel like now it's those tougher teams. It's those stronger teams. It's those older teams. It's those experienced teams that are really athletic. Look at Houston, you know, my pick to win this tournament, who I know you don't think is going to win this tournament. But, man, they found a gear in the second half of their win against Auburn, that's for sure. But it just – I don't know. I thought of that today when I knew we would talk about the end here, and I just wanted to touch a little bit on that before we got – into NC State. I just didn't know if you were seeing kind of the same thing that I was, because you played and you experienced all of this from a completely different perspective than I did.
And I'll say this, as much as you know, the game has changed, but I think a big piece of this, and I said this the other day, and I've been well documented as a person that does not like mid-major schools. I also think that the playing field is so level because NIL now, and because the coaches are not looking at high school recruits like they used to, and certain kids are falling through the cracks. these kids have chose, you know what, I'm going to go to a mid-major school. The big schools didn't respect me. And now they're there for 4 or 5 years, grown men, and they're really good players. They just didn't get noticed by those big schools as much because they said, why do that when I can get a junior or senior to transfer in? And I think that's just what you're going to see from now on is I've always felt that as a Power Five school, you always beat your mid-majors. You got to beat them. But I'm just telling you, I think that they're going to creep up and beat these teams more and more and more. And I think you're going to see more and more 15, 16 seeds and 14 seeds that are going to knock off these higher seeds because they've just groomed these kids that got overlooked for so long that may not have been the five-star recruit but could have been a three-star recruit that got overlooked. But then they developed them, and they're beating them as junior, seniors, and fifth-year and sixth-year seniors.
I actually think that dovetails nicely into our conversation about NC State. You know, by now, I think most people know last year was a disaster. They finished last in the ACC. And I don't know. And this year, you know, they win 23 games. They get to the NCAA tournament for the second time under Kevin Keats. No, they lost to Creighton. I think the bigger disappointment for me still, Scott, is the performance against Clemson in the ACC tournament, because I think they actually had a chance to win the ACC tournament. I don't think where they were in this bracket, they had a real chance to make any real noise, anything short of, you know, both guards just hitting every shot they took, which is just not a realistic formula. I thought that was one of the great things about this team was they won in different ways. They found different ways to win. You know, some games it was Terquavion and Jarkel hitting from the outside, but other games it was going inside to DJ Burns and really kind of being a different team. We saw Ernest Ross have some moments this year in big games and deliver. Greg Gant, whose injury in the ACC tournament ultimately, you know, ended up hurting this team, not having the little intangibles that he did. But I look at this team and I look at this season, and I know they didn't win an NCAA tournament game, but I look at this season as a success for this primary reason. It's really hard when your back is against the wall to come out and solve some problems. And I think you have to temper the disappointment with the 0-1 record in this tournament with how many coaches actually get themselves out of a corner when backed up like that after a 21 loss season, right? It's not easy to do. And I get there are criticisms of Kevin Keats. I understand all of those criticisms. But I think it's easy to lose sight of where they were 12 months ago and just how hard and how much pressure there is in that. So think about your sophomore year with Sidney Lowe. That every game became a referendum on Sid. And every game is like, you know, oh, well, he's definitely getting fired. Oh, he's definitely gone. And then you lose your incentive to play. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I think I want to start the state conversation with, I just don't think people understand how difficult and how well they pulled that off. And I honestly, though, I also think it is sustainable what they did because I thought Kevin made some key changes. What do you ultimately, when you look back on this season, will you judge it to be a success?
Most definitely. I think even, you know, going back to last year, I think that's one of the things is, you know, state fans are going to see the rough end of the year. But I also think that, you know, you look back on how the season ended when it was just miserable and everybody's like, all right, we got to fire Kevin Keats. It was the bottom of the barrel, and to scratch and claw and make the changes he did, the staff changes he made, to go out and find the right pieces to the puzzle, that's hard to do. And I think obviously Jarkel, you know, you look at him and you're like, okay, that guy can be a surefire at any program, you know, but then he brings in the Jack, he brings in the DJ. There was a lot of pieces that he did his homework as well as his staff did their homework and brought in the perfect pieces. And I think that's one of the biggest things I'm going to look back on is this was arguably one of the most fun teams NC State has had in a long, long time. And if fans don't quite, you know, realize that, and they're still stuck on, you know, how bad they were last year and losing how we did at the end of the season, then I think they're kind of missing the mark there. You know, it was fun to watch. It was a good brand of basketball that we put on the court. You know, we made the NCAA tournament, which is a hard thing to do. It's a very hard thing to do. It's even harder to win in the tournament. And I think that's one of the things people don't realize. I told a buddy of mine the other day, and he didn't take it well. And I'm an overly competitive person, but I said, because he was kind of complaining about losing the first round. And I said, if NC State for the next 15 years could just make the tournament and lose the first round, would you take it? And he said, no. And I said, I hate to tell you, buddy, but it's hard to win in the tournament. That consistency alone, I think it was Purdue had 8, somebody had 15, and somebody was like at 18 that have made consecutive NCAA tournaments.
Yeah, I think Kansas has the longest streak right now. And Kansas is one of the blue bloods of the program. I just think the calculus has changed so much in college basketball, even from the end of your career. It's crazy. I think it's changed so much. Think of it this way. And I was thinking about this afternoon. You know, Debbie Yao, when she fired Mark at the end of the 17 season, she specifically said it was because too many players were transferring and he wasn't developing enough talent and retaining enough players in the program. That was in 2017. No one is retaining players anymore. No one is going to retain. Krzyzewski's gone. And after this group leaves Carolina, they're going to go through the same thing. Kansas just won the championship last year. They had almost a completely different group this year. They're going to have a completely different group next year. So to me, ask Mike Bray, ask any of these coaches, Jay Wright, ask any of these coaches who've gotten out of coaching in the last three years. Okay. It's all because of how all of this has changed so much. And that's where I think you give Kevin credit. And he said this, he said he had to humble himself after last year. Of course, you're humbled after you lose a school record number of games. Of course. He brought in Levi. And you and I have talked about this. That was important on a couple of fronts. Number one, as a former player, you could speak more to this than I can. But the relationship between the former players and Kevin and the current program wasn't good. And that needed to be improved. And I think just in hiring Levi, that goes a long way. Just in having you and Ralston Turner and Torin Dorn involved in the various ways that you guys have been involved, that goes a long way. So I think that was smart. You know, I think Kevin had an idea of how he wanted to run this thing. And let's be honest, it was probably Rick Pitino's idea. You know, you get ideas from the people that you work for and the ultra successful people that you work for. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
But I think ultimately that was a great move. And just for that's number one. Then you consider Levi's strengths as someone who can identify talent, someone who can recruit talent, and someone who could sell NC State the way that he can because of that passion and pride that he has in his own school as his alma mater. I can't, you know, you and I dedicated a whole podcast episode this year to Levi for good reason, but I think it was a smart decision. Number two, I thought the players you bought in, you mentioned Jarkel, you mentioned Jack Clark, you mentioned DJ Burns. DJ Burns was the player of the year in his conference. Kevin didn't guess about DJ Burns. Kevin didn't guess about Jarkel Joyner. There was no guessing. And I felt like in previous years, there was too much of that. There was too much of, well, Casey Morselli averaged 4 points at Virginia, but if we bring him in here, he's magically going to turn into something else. And it's like, you know, give him some time, let him develop a little bit for sure, but don't guess. And I thought that was really important this year. So those were two major changes. And I do think that's what gives me optimism that the success from this year can be sustainable. Now, let's get to the hard part. Tre'Quavion Smith's going to be a first-round pick in the NBA draft. Okay? Those guys don't grow on trees. Going to be tough to bring him back. Going to be tough to fill his production, number one. Then number two, you know, Jarkel, as a sixth-year guy, he knew his role. He knew how to push the team. And never mind his skill set, his leadership was tremendous. You're not always going to hit on a player like that. I do think when you start looking at the rest of the roster, though, the number of guys who can come back and who are likely to come back, I think you're putting yourself in a pretty good position. Again, assuming DJ comes back, which I think he will, because he can make more money at NC State next year than a lot of different places. You tell me. I mean,
yes and no. I mean, obviously, a lot of it's going to come to certain things like that, money, but I do. Assuming
all I'm just you played in Turkey, you played in Spain, you played all over the place. So, you know, there is money to be made out there.
Yeah. But I think, are we just particularly for DJ?
I would say yes,
100% for him personally in the game that I've seen out of him. I think he has to stay at the collegiate level. I still don't think he's ready to make that jump yet. Regardless of overseas or anywhere else. But with that being said, I think there's a roster there that can kind of be molded around DJ. Now, I think DJ is going to have to, you know, look in the mirror and say, you know what, I really need to get in shape. I've got to be able to handle some ball screens better. I got to stay out of foul trouble, because I think he could be a really good asset, especially from the one thing that, you know, a Kevin Keats, and if we had one gripe with anything about Kevin right now, it would be the half court offense. He can make half-court offense a little bit easier. But I think you got two huge guard pieces that you mentioned that he's going to have to go out in the portal. And, again, it can't be that guessing game. He's got to bring in a surefire scorer, and he's got to bring a guy that can lead and control the game. And I think that's kind of the hardest piece to all this, is you got to find someone out in the portal, and then you got to have enough money to pay him. So,
right.
I think that's just the two biggest pieces to all of it.
No one's coming for free anymore, nor should they. But I will say, you mentioned the style of play. I would imagine watching Tre'Quavion, watching Jarkel, as Kevin and Levi and the rest of the coaching staff, they're going to sell that to these players in the portal. Like, hey, here's an opportunity for you. Here's what we did with these two players. Here's what we can do with you.
Well, and I think that's basically the beauty of it. I mean, outside of money, you know, a lot of these schools are going to promise a lot of things, but there's 40 points and almost 38 minutes a game, you know, right there, or 64, whatever it comes out to. Mm-hmm. You got all this that you can promise, and on top of it, be able to pay them, and you know you're coming in, and they're looking at these kids in the portal saying, you're going to be our guy.
Right.
And it's easy for them to just show on film, because those two guys have done it at a very high level, and now they're gone. So I think that's just the biggest piece. They got to find those two guys. And is it easy? No. But there's definitely a lot of guys out there that are going to hit the portal that they can pick up.
And that supporting cast stays the same. Casey, eligible to come back for another year. Jack Clark, eligible to come back for another year. DJ eligible to come back for another year. It looks like they're going to try to get Tucson Morosic an extra year of eligibility as well, which is why I think we didn't see him come back from the injury in the second half of this season. So they can make an appeal there for his seventh year. Ernest Ross, I feel like, is another piece that can really develop over the offseason. I loved the way that E.B. Duwana was used in spurts this year. I thought his growth was really good, you know, especially after struggling that first year. You know, it would have been easy for someone like that to leave and go play somewhere else and just pack it up and move it along. So I think it says a lot about EB and the kind of player that he is, the kind of person that he is. And I those are all good pieces to have back next season. And depending on what some of those guards look like, and, you know, there's also a chance that either Trey Parker or Dennis Parker can come in and be a Turquavion, have that kind of talent. I mean, you know, Turquavion is not everyone's favorite flavor, right? Because there were times when he looked really, really good. And then there were times where he would, you know, miss some shots and you're like, man, I love chocolate chip mint ice cream. And then there'd be other times you're like, no, not in the mood for that anymore. I want strawberry. So can't please all the people all the time.
Yeah. And I think that's, I think they have the pieces. I think they do have a solid recruiting class, which is, again, I feel like it's outside of the Dukes and Kansas's is probably a rare thing nowadays that people are still paying attention to.
But even Duke and Kansas, that's the thing, is the top of the board isn't the top of the board anymore.
Yeah.
Because you got guys going to the G League. You got guys, you know, the best prospect in the last bazillion years is going to the NBA. He's not even going to play college basketball. So, you know.
Yeah, but I think that's kind of the interesting landscape of college sports in general right now, is it's just, can you find a way to retain those players? Because, you know, we mentioned a lot of good pieces, but again, you still got to retain, is Casey going to come back? You got to hold on to DJ. You got to hold on to the Ernest, the Greg Gant, or the Jack Clark. So trying to figure all that out is going to be a hard piece while everybody's out on the recruiting circuit trying to find the next Turquavion and Jarkel. While these kids are all back in Raleigh trying to figure out what they want to do.
The good news is the portal, some people are confused by this. The portal and the free pass works in such a way that you get to do it once. So someone like Jack, someone like DJ, Dusan, you know, they don't have to sit out even under the new world and the new NIL order. So they're in a good position to hold on to some of those guys, most of those guys.
Unless they graduate.
Correct. That's also part of it. You get to use your one-time graduate transfer. So, yeah, you're right. It's don't be surprised when people leave. It happens. I think we've seen this now. There's a reality to people want to play. And ultimately, that's what it comes down to. Guys want to play. I mean, you can talk about money all you want. But the ultimate deciding and driving force for transfers is they want to play. Now, where they might end up could be decided by how much they're paid. But I think ultimately it is about the opportunity. And I think NC State has a much, 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 much better opportunity to sell after this season than they did the previous year. And again, I can understand the frustration with NC State hasn't won an NCAA tournament basketball game since 2015, since they beat Villanova. So if you're an NC State fan, you should be frustrated. But I also think you have to look at the reality of the situation and understand that the work that was done this year was really good and it was important. And now you can raise those expectations. Now you can build off of this. But when you're down at the bottom, dead last in the league, it's really hard to do what they did. So I you know, that's the way I look at it, Scott.
Yeah, and I think that's to me, that's all that everybody should remember for this season, was just put yourself in this situation last year and how you felt as a fan or someone watching the game or sitting in the stands and it was almost completely empty, to the excitement and the buzz that you felt this year. You know, I think that's the big piece of it, is how quickly it all turned around. And you got to think that now Coach Keats feels like he has some type of recipe to use to try to do this each and every year. And I think that's what you're going to run into, is a lot of these teams, it's going to be hard to find that recipe. Like you said, a lot of people are going to guess. You know, if we don't guess, and you really do your homework, which they are doing their homework, I think this could be a very good recipe for NC State to build off of each and every year.
Scott Wood, it's been a pleasure this season. I know you enjoyed all of our time together when you were a player. I'm sure you've found it even to be more rewarding in this position in your adulthood now. So thank you for taking so much time this year. I appreciate it.
No, thank you. I appreciate, you know, everybody that listened. It was an absolute pleasure to come on here once a week, even when, you know, NC State wasn't playing that well. I know when I did my podcast last year, it was a very difficult time.
Yeah, you had a much tougher one.
to do a podcast. So it was a lot more enjoyable to come on and talk about a good and exciting NC State basketball team. And hopefully, you know, we hop in the portal, grab some great pieces, and we can do it all over again.
All right. Catch all of our episodes right here on our YouTube channel. Hopefully you're watching. Subscribe. Do all those good things right there. You got any comments? Leave them right there. We'll find them. Missed any of our other episodes where you're listening to Apple, Spotify, the Googles? Of course, you can catch us there, listen to us there while you're riding in your car, riding around doing some work today. Or for the WRALsportsfan.com. Scott Wood, appreciate all your work, and hopefully I'll see you on the golf course soon.
That's for sure. Go Pack.